Hey everybody, welcome to episode 5 of Boy Meets Tech. Today we sit down with founder and author Hugo Fernandez of Just Digital, and we really get some insight on how a digital marketing firm approaches customer acquisition and what tools you can really implement on a granular level right now without a digital marketing firm to make sure that you're succeeding with acquiring new customers and with all your marketing efforts. So without further ado, enjoy episode 5. All right, cool. So thank you everybody for joining me at episode 5 of Boy Meets Tech. We are joined today with Hugo Fernandez. He is the CEO of Just Digital, a digital marketing firm based out of Los Angeles, California. How are you doing today, Hugo?
Pretty good, pretty good. Excited to be on episode number 5, getting early on the biggest podcast.
Yeah, you're very up, early so. On. You can look back and appreciate being one of the first guests. So
thanks for having me, Cameron.
But I wanted to start off, you know, very general. I just kind of wanted to get kind of where your background and kind of how you got started in the tech industry and kind of what led you to really start Just Digital.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you said, I'm the CEO of Just Digital. We're a digital marketing and growth firm here based out of Los Angeles. I've personally helped hundreds of entrepreneurs grow their businesses. We work a lot with professional services as well as like startups, food brands, kind of all over the spectrum. But our bread and butter are smaller companies on a kind of a high growth phase of their business. There's one of the things that got me early started in helping entrepreneurs was I come from a family of kind of small business owners, entrepreneurs. Just it was our way of a better life. It was the American dream, if you will, right? I'm an immigrant from Mexico, came in as a kid into the U.S. And so that was always appealing that you could kind of create your own fortune and make your dreams come true. So that to me was still very, very much real. And then I got into it, right? And I started realizing there's a lot of businesses out there. There's 28 million small businesses in the United States, but 23 out of that 28 million make less than 60 grand a year in gross sales. So, oh, wow. And out of the entire kind of spectrum of companies in the US, large companies included, there's 30 million kind of registered businesses. Only about a million of those 30 make over $1 million in gross sales, right? So 29 million out of the 30 million are not making over seven figures. So that those numbers to me were really, really staggering. And nobody got into business to struggle. Nobody got into business to not be able to make income, right? And that's the whole kind of goal and the fuel of a business is, you know, you need customers that allow you to do what you love, customers that appreciate your work or appreciate your product, download your apps, consume your content. And that is a big motivating reason why people get into business is you have a message or you have a product or you have a problem that you're trying to solve that you're extremely passionate about. But if you just look at the numbers, most people are just failing and failing pretty miserably at acquiring customers, at making money, at getting people to care about the thing that you spent your entire life working towards, or everything kind of converged into you starting this business. So that's where we come in. And that's where my passion lies is in helping people break through that and in helping people get their message out. And in the title of my book, Acquire Clients, right? So I wrote a book maybe about a year and a half ago, called the Client Acquisition Blueprint, and laid out everything that we do for our hundreds of clients that pay us a good amount of money to do this, to really try to help in a very simple and practical way, help small business owners and startup founders grow their ventures, right? So that's in a nutshell my passion, how I got here. Really, it's solving that problem of, like, I always grew up in sales. It was our survival way, you know, it was our survival mechanism. It's what we did to make ends meet as an immigrant family. Like, my mom made food and I went door to door and sold food. I sold the candy out of my backpack. It was just a way of life. And it's what everybody in my community does. You go to, I grew up in the Seattle area, but I live in LA now. And if you go to East LA, like, there's a bunch of people trying to sell you stuff, right? There's like people in the corners trying to sell, the street vendors and all this stuff. And that was me growing up. So for me, it was a way of life, right? And now, as bringing that into business and into technology and into, so I live in Silicon Beach right now. And in this high tech startup world, like that, that hustle, if you will, in the beginning as a kid, that translates perfectly into what we do now. Now, obviously, the formats and the mediums change, and where we go about acquiring customers is different, but the premise is still the same. You got to find people that care about your product and then tell them, hey, here's what I got, and then do a transaction. So, yeah, that's a little bit about me and my passion and what I, what led me to obviously this conversation.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I think working sales early on is kind of the best experience you can have, whether that's in retail or, you know, I mean, I remember setting up like on the golf course, selling like lemonade and food, like as a kid. And I think it gets you past like that stigma of being worried about what people think and just kind of approaching everybody with your value proposition, even from an early age. And I think it definitely helps starting out in sales. And I think you can kind of see it's evident in kind of the growth that you guys have had at your company. I kind of want to get on a granular level too, on terms of what you do. So like, let's say, obviously, you know, we're a startup, we're 5 months into this. What services, you know, really would I be looking for when I come to your company? I mean, what's really the value that you're providing and kind of the roadmap that you guys are providing to an entrepreneur and to a startup?
Yeah. So there's kind of 10 essential steps, right? And it's the premise of the book, but each step in this kind of growth process kind of layers on each other. And if I were to break it down into kind of three chunks, right? One of it is just foundational elements. Do you have a strategy? Do you know who your customer is? Do you have a great brand? Is your website optimized for conversion? Can people, are you easy to find, right? So just basic SEO on your website. A lot of people are just missing that. Do you have an idea of where your customers are hanging out on social media? So it's more of the foundational strategic side of things is the first kind of foundational element. It's step one. Right. So once you have your foundation, you know who your customers are, you have a great brand. Then the second part is the conversion and automation portion of it. How do you, if let's say tomorrow, everybody, you're on the cover of every major media outlet, like Facebook promotes you, Google promotes you, you just blow up, right? Mm-hmm. And people go to your site. Is it, how are you turning that attention into a lead or a sale, right? So are you optimized for conversion? So we have a couple of tools there to help you optimize everything that you're doing to actually convert into a lead and a sale. Oftentimes that's just making sure your offers are properly placed, making sure you have dedicated landing pages to the specific things that you're promoting, right? And then the automation in place, like somebody downloads, let's say, for example, you're an app, right? So if your whole goal is to get people to download your app, well, that is one piece of your entire marketing funnel. You still got to get people to come back, right? So what happens after they download your app? Is your sequence from the moment they download your app to the moment that they start using it? Do they know how to use it? What does your onboarding look like? What are the emails that go out after to remind the user to come back, to re-engage them? A lot of the times we're solving business problems when we get to that portion of it is because there's no better marketing than having a great product. And a lot of times, unfortunately, entrepreneurs are really in love with their products, but their product is just not that great. So yeah, we make suggestions to improve that product, because bring the attention is hard enough. Now, if you get their attention and then you kind of fumble that portion of converting them into a lead and a customer, and then ultimately a raving fan, then your cost of acquisition in general is going to be really, really expensive, and you're not going to be able to maximize the value of each customer. So that's kind of phase two, is conversion and automation.
Okay.
And then phase three, and this is where most people come to when they think about marketing, but we kind of put it towards the end, is getting massive attention, right? So how, a lot of times people just don't know that you exist. They don't know your business. They just don't know you, right? So that's where most people think that they should start. But you got to start with the first two phases first. Once you have the first two phases, your foundational elements, and then your conversion automation in place, then you can focus all of your attention on getting all of your focus on getting attention. And what I mean by that is there's really two ways to get people's attention in, online, right? There's organic and then there's paid. So organic traffic, that's your social media, maybe your influencer marketing, that's your blog post, your SEO, your inbound marketing, maybe doing the PR route, trying to get press coverage. So that's the organic category. And then paid is you pay to play. It's paid advertising on the two advertising giants, which are Google and Facebook. Somebody's searching for your product or your service. They Google you, or they Google your product and your service. You pay for an ad. You show up there. They click on that ad. They go to your landing page or your website, and then they convert into a lead or a sale, and then they're now put into your funnel. Right? So we help with every kind of stage of that process, from the consulting and the strategy, identifying your customers, doing the market research, figuring out, you know, is this something people want to do, to the website builds, to building out the landing pages, to building out the paid advertising campaigns. So we help people with every kind of stage of that process. Some people come to us and say, hey, we know what we are. We already have our foundation in place. Like, but we're really, you know, we're spending $100,000 a month or $50,000 a month or $5,000 a month, whatever, on paid advertising. Our cost per lead is okay, but we want it better, right? Or our cost per lead sucks. We want to improve our cost per lead. Then we focus on, okay, how can we optimize their each part of the funnel, from the paid advertising to the landing pages, to the headlines, to maybe the design and the aesthetic, the value proposition. And so we go to work in that regard.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, and there's a lot of kind of deliverables in each of that process. So if, when a client comes to us, you know, we typically have kind of our set, because we put everybody through this process and we'll kind of do a full audit on each of these 10 different elements.
Okay.
And then we identify deliverables that they might need. So let's say you already have a website. It's like, okay, let's not focus on that. Let's focus on the building out a funnel and then the onboarding sequence, right? And then we price out that.
Okay. So I think that's great to kind of hear how you guys help on a granular level. I think a lot of times you hear digital marketing and you only hear really big picture stuff. And I think it's great to see kind of how you guys kind of handhold the brand, you know, all the way through the funnel. And I think for me, what you said about not falling in love with your product is a huge thing, because even on my end, coming from the food and beverage industry and coming from more of the consumer packaged goods side of it, you see a lot of brand owners who launch into even like a super saturated category, and they just, they're kind of blinded by their own product. And they think like, this is going to succeed. Like, I've talked to all my friends and family about it. And I think not falling in love with your product and really avoiding confirmation bias is definitely a powerful statement, and something that more entrepreneurs should definitely kind of heed before starting a business. But I'd love to know kind of the entrepreneurs that come to you in the newer businesses, what do you see as kind of the main mistake they've made, which has led them to kind of reach out to you?
Yeah. So a lot of it is there's so many different things that they could be doing. Right. And there's so many buzzy things that people tell them, hey, you should just post more on Instagram, or you should do influencer marketing, or hey, Facebook ads and this new funnel are like the thing, you know, the secret sauce. And they're missing the strategic portion of it. They're like, what's our goal? And then really simplifying it down. Like, a lot of the times, you know, they spend their attention on one particular channel, but there's no like real business like strategy behind it. Right. So, and a lot of times it's the fundamentals. It's what problem am I solving? Who am I actually talking to? And what do I want them to do? Right. And if you're able to answer those three questions, like what problem am I solving and value am I providing and to who am I providing that to? And then what's my end goal? Like, do I want them to download something? Do I want them to just go straight to the purchase? What are my objectives? And then treating the marketing portion of it as just different tools. That's what I always recommend. It's like, don't look at it as like, hey, this is going to be the thing that solves my business. Like, it's a tool in my arsenal to accomplish my mission, right? So a lot of times people just get stuck on the channels. So like, I see this all the time with businesses just spending all their time on one particular social media platform, right? Mm-hmm. But then they have no conversion in place, or their actual sales on, if let's say you're an e-commerce brand, their sales are just not great, right? So where it's like, okay, if your goal is to just sell more, let's allocate some money towards paid advertising and let's make sure your shopping cart experience is great, right? Before, and let's stabilize the sales and the revenue portion before we jump and create a YouTube channel or a podcast or all this other stuff trying to drive traffic to my e-commerce site. When really, if it's as simple as I'm solving a real problem to a real group of people and I know my objective, then you focus on that objective, right? So versus if you're a brand that's trying to create a movement and trying to more of something that's like, I know I want to just build an audience of like people who care about this particular topic. Then you focus all your attention on that objective. So I was talking to a brand yesterday and they have an amazing content site. And they are targeting new mothers. So it's a lot of the time, and a lot of times it's a very, they can get distracted with so many different things that they're doing, but they're super focused on providing real value to these mothers. And now that makes it super easy to go out and market their brand, as opposed to like they're just trying to be cute or like they're really trying to commercialize it. They know, she knows her objective. She knows like she has a 12, 18 month runway. And her goal is just to build an audience. And that's the main goal that they've, that the whole company is aligned, rather than like, hey, let's put up the shopping cart or let's get all these sponsored posts. Like they're eliminating a lot of opportunities right now because they're laser focused on their objective, which is to build an audience of raving fans and avid readers of their content. Right. So, and the focus is pretty clear. Like we're going to get email lists, we're going to build our social platform, and we're going to build a community, right? So that we can then funnel them back to engaging in our content. And they've allocated resources and time and energy into doing that so that 18 months down the road, now we can really monetize it because we have 1 million or 2 million or whatever readers. And it's super easy to monetize them, right? We can send them an offer, send them an email, and it converts and it puts money in the bank, right? So, but that is like, that's one objective as a, the other objective is like, hey, if I'm trying to monetize, I'm trying to make money because I'm bootstrapped, I'm self-funded, or I'm, you know, I'm running out of cash and I don't want to go raise more money if you're a startup. Then it's like, okay, let's get some revenue, let's get some paying customers, right? And then you focus your attention on what's actually going to put cash in the bank. So that is one of the mistakes that I see people make, is they just spread themselves too thin. They get overwhelmed with information when it comes to marketing. And they don't zoom out and focus. It's like, what's my goal? What problem am I solving? What's my audience? And then how am I going to get there?
And when that comes to like an ad, let's say, and when getting like, again, focusing on getting granular, if someone were to run a Facebook ad or a Google ad, I mean, what's the mistakes that you see there? Is it the fact that they're targeting the wrong audience? Is their messaging not clear? Are they not using the correct images? Are they just kind of, you know, are they not spending enough? I mean, where do you see when they are going towards paid advertising in the beginning, where are kind of the pitfalls there?
I think it's kind of on a case by case basis, but a lot of the times, just the lack of execution, okay. They kind of underestimate the amount of work that it kind of takes to do paid advertising, especially on Facebook, right? It used to be where you could just kind of toss up any copy and throw up a Facebook ad and it would convert, you know, just 2-3 years ago. That's no longer the case. Like there's so much information, there's so much content, the ad inventory is so much more. So if you're not good at writing headlines, at the creative, at doing the images and the photos and the videos, then you're not going to be able to get people's attention. And also if you're not clear on the problem that you're solving, then it might be too broad or it might be too generic and the people, you miss that audience, right? So you're kind of, if you take the blanket approach where you just kind of say, hey, here's what we do and here's who we help, but you don't get specific and give them a specific use case, that ends up being a problem. The other mistake that I see people make is not understanding how the platforms work. So if somebody is on Facebook and it's a very passive kind of platform, Right. So you got to find a way to first introduce them to your audience. Oh, sorry. Introduce your product to your audience. So having a campaign specifically just to show people, here's an example. Here's what it looks like. Here's what my product does or my service does, but with this very real kind of story method, and then warming up an audience. So a very simple example of how we would accomplish this, right, is we run a series of, to keep it simple, I'll do three videos, let's say I'm trying to teach somebody a specific thing, right? So I will do three videos and I will show it to a broader audience. Let's say my audience are 25 to 45 year old kind of health conscious fit people in more affluent communities. So I will target, you know, the audience, the fans of Whole Foods or Honest Company or brands like that who are a little bit more who my customer would already be engaged with, right? So I would show them these three videos and put a budget behind that. I would create a custom audience inside of Facebook and then share, retarget the people who watch my video for 30 seconds or 10 seconds, whatever your criteria is, but who at least were exposed enough to my video. So the next time around I show them something, they're like, it's in their subconscious. Like they've registered that, you know, they've seen that. So I retarget them now with an offer, let's say to download my app or buy my product or check out my store, my product inside of Whole Foods. Right. So that is a strategy where it's like I'm first introducing the product and then I'm retargeting them with an offer, and I follow that across the board. So I can do that on blog posts. I can do that on just a regular ad and then retarget them. Anybody who visits my landing pages or my sites, retarget them as well. So thinking of your paid advertising as a marketing funnel, not just as like here's, especially when it comes to Facebook, thinking of it as a marketing funnel, not just as like, I'm going to show the ad, they're going to click and they're going to download my app. And if you're not getting conversions there, then you can tweak your headline, you can tweak the story, and you can tweak the offer of that particular creative, right? So like, was that helpful?
Yeah, no, I think that's super helpful. And I think for like us, I mean, just kind of to internalize the problem that you're talking about, for us, we've really been working on kind of honing in on exactly what we do here at WeStock. I mean, for us, we could be product discovery platform, but we could also just like really be the leader in the end of the year in the product request process. And so like for us, it's like, do we really want to make sure that all of our messaging and all of our copy is really around the thing that we can dominate in, or for more of the general broad kind of thing? And so that's another question for me too. I mean, do you tend to tell people that, you know, to kind of dominate in something that they're really good at, or kind of go for the more broad kind of masses and those broad kind of targeting pools, like, you know, millennial women, or should they be very specific on like who they're really targeting?
So for marketing, all right, let me redo that. I don't know if you can edit that for now. I'm like judging. So if internally, and this is a question I struggle with in my agency and a lot of clients struggle with, because obviously you want to have a big market graph, like you have a big market dominance, like you want everybody to know you. That's a mistake. That's another mistake I see a lot of new business owners make and new startup founders make, is they're kind of trying to go after everybody. And in theory, that sounds great because you want as many customers as possible. But in execution, it's really counterproductive, and it's really, 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 really hard to do that, right? So internally, even you can say, okay, we're going to go after these different market segments. But when you go actually to execute, you have to stay super focused on a particular market segment. So you have to niche down as much as possible. Now, again, I struggle with this a lot because we serve a lot of different clients across different sectors, different industries. But when I go out, like if I'm going to put advertising dollars behind something, I want to be very, very, very specific, because the way I solve a problem, like I can help pretty much any, but we can help any business with their customer acquisition and digital marketing. But any business is not the same as I can help an app, a startup founder specifically in the food and retail space, right? And if I run ads specifically to tech founders that are trying to solve problems in food and retail, that is going to resonate with you more than, hey, I can help your business grow, right? So if I'm running an advertisement and I'm targeting you specifically, I would create a piece of content of like 7 ways to get more app downloads for your consumer brand, right? And that might be a little bit more specific to you. Now I can get even more granular than that. and continue succeeding in attracting your attention, because otherwise solving a problem for anybody is not solving a problem for that user specifically. So if somebody says, hey, I can help anybody, but I don't know if they can help me specifically, right? Because we all think that we're very much different than everybody else. So as a marketer, I always try to hone in on one specific customer avatar, one specific problem, one specific marketing segment, and then go all in on that marketing segment. So in your case, I would recommend picking one of your audience in marketing, it's called a customer avatar, or I call it the perfect client profile. Who's your perfect customer that would be keep coming back and back and back? And Peter Thiel talks about this in Zero to One, where it's like you want to have a monopoly on a very, it's better to have a monopoly on a very, 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 very focused group where you're like the only guy there or the only app for that specific group of people, rather than trying to go after a big market segment.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. And I think, I think a lot of brands tend to spread themselves too thin. And I think it's important to kind of test it out a lot, because you may not know who your ideal customer is, right? And I think unless you start doing the targeted marketing into a lot of different sectors and then see which one resonates the most, you're not going to really know which really avenue to kind of proceed with. And one thing that you said in the beginning, though, too, is I know you tend to work with entrepreneurs and companies that are kind of early on. Where do you really see kind of like the budget kind of hitting the road? Because I see, like, you know, for us, like, obviously we're bootstrapping, a lot of startups are bootstrapping or they're in the process of raising. And do you think that there's a stigma sometimes around reaching out to a digital marketing agency? Because sometimes people feel like we can do this ourselves, and kind of, are they reaching out to you too late in the process? Are they too worried about kind of the costs associated with that? I mean, how do you kind of get around that barrier to entry with entrepreneurs and new brands?
Yeah. So one thing that one of my mentors told me early on is sell to people who want whatever you're offering, your product, your service. Sell it to people who want it, not necessarily to people who need it. Now, in my case, there's a lot of people who need this kind of help, right? But not everybody necessarily wants it. Like you said, a lot of times they want to do it themselves, or, you know, like, especially when it comes to some of the deliverables, like a website design project, right? You can go on Squarespace and get it for a few dollars a month, right? You can go on, get a lot of these, you can run your own Facebook ads, you can do your own design, you can hire a graphic designer. So a lot of the times the smaller companies, they tend to go that route. So I don't necessarily go spend a lot of my energy trying to convince people, hey, you really need me. I need this product or service. I spend most of my time positioning the company and positioning myself in the marketplace, where if it makes sense for you, like you're at a stage where you've tried all that stuff and it's, you know, you've maybe got some traction, but now you need to take it to the next level, or you've tried stuff and it's not really working and you need somebody to just do it right because you've spent the last 3 years and almost all your money trying to figure it out on your own, and you want to shortcut that and you want to hire like a pro and you want to hire people who are great at this, who have a proven track record, then you come to us, right? So that's on a positioning level, where you want to be positioned in the marketplace, where you're not trying to convince people that you're necessarily the best. You let the results and you let your customers and your users do that. The way we do that is by doing a great job with people and then having them leave us reviews and testimonials and building that into our process so that we continue building our reputation. So when people Google digital marketing agency in Los Angeles, you know, our reputation speaks for itself, our work speaks for itself, and we do a good job of marketing ourselves or positioning ourselves in the marketplace, right? So in the same way that that's the same process that we recommend for our clients, where you want to solve a problem for that specific group of people, where you're like the only choice for that group of people, right? And you want to dominate that mental space in that customer's mind, right? So if you're a product discovery app right now, like, find a specific group of people who are having a really hard time finding a specific type of product. So yeah. I can think of like people with specific health health reasons why they need specific types of product, people discovering like vegan options, gluten-free options, and there's all these kind of different categories that you can start saying, okay, I'm going to try this. And if that person finds their favorite food brand through your app and it's their, you know, they're gluten-free and all the other like gluten-free things that they've tried is like really just, they're not that great. And they discovered this new brand through your app. They're going to keep coming back and see what else you can solve for them. You know, what other gluten-free options you have or what other vegan options you have. Like if I can think of a person right now in my, a friend of mine who who is vegan and he loves ice cream. He loves like, yeah, trying all these different flavors of ice cream. And he's like, I don't like this particular kind because of this particular reason. Said, I don't like this. And I'm like, okay, another that meant that it was that intricate in the vegan ice cream world.
Yeah, we just need 500 million of them. And it's perfect. We'll be off to the races.
Yeah, exactly. Right. But that's, it sounds funny, but it's true. Like if you can find a small group of people that you can solve a really important problem to them, whether it's like just a desire or an actual need, then you're going to be positioned really well in the marketplace and marketing becomes so much easier.
Yeah. And I think that's definitely something that you kind of brought into light during this conversation about just being more focused on it. And I think, I think reaching out to a digital marketing agency earlier on in the life cycle is something that more brands should do if they have the capacity to do that and they don't have someone internally. So kind of where in the life cycle of an entrepreneur and a startup kind of do you think that is the right fit for you kind of to join the team? Is it right away? Is it once they've launched the product? Is it, you know, where do, when do you kind of come into the life cycle for an entrepreneur?
Yeah. So for us, we really come into the picture at, it's kind of hard because it's at every stage of this process, we have different things where we can help these businesses, because that's my mission is to be able to help as many people as possible with these problems, right? So from an early level where it's like, hey, I'm trying to figure this out, but I need some strategy, like they can get the book or they can watch some content or they can. We have marketing out there to help people at a different level. Like we have entire pieces of content dedicated on our website and resources, mm-hmm. where it's like, if you want to build your own website, you can go to our website and click on all these links and set up your Squarespace. And here's an exact process on how to do that. And so we want to be as helpful as possible because we want to help them succeed so that then they can later afford to pay us. But really where they come to us is when they're looking to execute on a marketing campaign and they've thought about like a lot of these fundamental problems of who our customers are, they know who their customers are, and then now we're just going to try to go execute. But internally, we don't have a full marketing team. Like I was running, like, let's say you're running the Facebook ads, but then your company really kicks off or you need to go raise money or you need to focus on the brand partnerships and you need the marketing portion of it to keep going. So that's where we come in. Where you have kind of a budget established, you have some of the basic stuff figured out already because you have a little bit of customers and you figured out kind of what problems you're solving. And then we can take that and run with it and augment it. But as far as like specific recommendation for these businesses at what stage they should reach out as soon as possible and ask specific questions. So even if you can't afford to hire an agency or it doesn't make sense for you at your stage to hire an agency, the information, if you talk to hopefully the right, I mean, some agencies will like not give you too much insight, too much advice because they're trying to sell you something. But if you find, hopefully you're able to find a good agency with a good reputation and find some helpful people. There's a lot of people out there who are willing to give you 30 minutes of their time. Or even if you say, hey, I'm probably not an ideal client for you, but I'd love to pay you for a 1-hour consultation and then pay them for an hour of their time with one of their strategists and say, here's my brand, here's my brand problems, here's what I want to do. And then have them lay out a blueprint for you. And so you can hire consultants, you can hire agencies, you can hire strategists, go on LinkedIn, DM people, try to get the help and the guidance that you need for your specific problem as early as possible, because it'll save you a lot of time, energy, headache. It's the same thing with any other professional service, whether you're trying to hire an accountant or whatever. Like you could wait until tax season to hire an accountant and like give them a box of receipts or, you know, a Google Drive folder with everything that you've done. or you can reach out to them proactively and say, hey, here's what I'm doing. I can't really afford to hire you and pay you a ton of money right now, but if you give me an hour of your time, I'm happy to pay you for that. And then lay out, you know, your specific questions so you can get the help. Because if you try to do it all yourself as a startup founder, as an entrepreneur, that's a huge, huge mistake. You need to find the right people around, put the right people around you so that they can guide you and shortcut your learning curve.
Great. And I would also wanted to know, you know, how we've started this podcast, obviously, to help, you know, hopefully kind of create some natural content for WeStock and kind of also, you know, to also help my journey, you know, kind of through starting a company. But I wanted to know kind of how much the book helps, you know, Just Digital. And did you see kind of a nice boom? And do you kind of advocate for those types of content marketing strategies of releasing a book or releasing a podcast or releasing, you know, a blog series to kind of help drive people towards whatever your main company is?
It definitely helps. I wouldn't say that the book is like a magic, like none of this stuff, right? A podcast or a book or a YouTube video is a magic pill. Like, it depends on your objective and your like motives behind doing any of this stuff. So for me, the book, it definitely helps. It's brought us clients. It's put me on stages that then have resulted in clients. There's a process to it where it's like, you know, you're positioned differently in the marketplace. As soon as somebody hears that you're an author, like, you must know something about your subject. But that's not really why I did it. I mean, those are the benefits and the results. Why I did it is so that if my sister wants to open a business, I'm like, hey, sister, read this book. It's really, really going to help you. Spend 2 hours going through it, and then we're going to talk about it, and I'm going to help you run your business, right? I'm going to help you with your marketing. Like, I genuinely did this, that if my family needs it, like, here's an exact blueprint on how to do it. My wife's also an entrepreneur. And so it's like, it's everything that we have, like, it's in this format, right? Because I want to genuinely be helpful. Like, now, if my objective is I want to get more clients, I want to get more business, like, I'm going to knock on some doors. I'm going to run some paid advertising. I'm going to focus on bringing in revenue that way, right? It's not necessarily like I'm going to put a book and then I'm expecting $1 million from this book in the next 18 months or 12 months, whatever. And it's like, now, obviously, I'm putting that out there, the book out there, and it's leading to conversations like this. It's put me on stages in front of hundreds of my ideal customers, whether they're doctors or attorneys or accountants or startup founders. And it's led to some awesome stuff and a nice bump in business. But my objective was genuinely just to be helpful. So I do recommend it. But if you're like looking to acquire customers, get app downloads, get leads, get sales, there's better strategies than this particular method. This is a long-term kind of play.
Yeah, I think it has to be genuine too. I think the end consumer is smart. So if you're writing a book to generate leads or things like that, I think you've got to be genuine in your approach and what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Because the last thing you want to do is put a book that's like super thin and it's not really helpful, and then you're exposed that you actually don't know what you're talking about. Or like, if you hate writing, like, why would you submit yourself to like putting to writing a book? Unless you're super, super passionate about that subject, right? So if you do things for the right reason, if you do it the right way, if you're generally trying out there to help people to solve a problem, then you're going to succeed. And I literally start my book off kind of on that premise of, you know, what is the goal of a business, and why we all do it, right? So I kind of break it down into, and we can wrap up with this if you'd like, but I call it the value formula. Like, most businesses are struggling because they're selfish. A lot of the times they're trying to, it's all about me as the business owner rather than what's in it for my customers. How am I actually solving problems for my customers? So I believe that a business on a fundamental level is just a group of people delivering value to the marketplace, delivering value for their customers, delivering value for their employees, for their investors, for themselves. Right. But it's about the value creation process. And then if you really created some value, then it makes the second and third portion really easy. You communicate that value into the marketplace, that's marketing, and you exchange the value. That's your sales, your business dev, your revenue generation activities, right? So you create value, you communicate value, and you exchange value. I kind of group business into those three categories. And if and say, how can we do a better job of creating value and delivering that value? Do we have the processes, the systems in place to create that value? Same thing for communication of value and exchange of value.
Yeah, I think that's super important. I think it sounds obvious, but I also think that just no one, I think a lot of entrepreneurs get caught up in kind of what, if it does something for them. And I think they forget about, it's all about the end user and that experience and really delivering value to your customer. So I think, you know, there's not enough times we can kind of hammer that over the head as really the importance of starting a business. And how I kind of love to wrap this conversation up is we've been kind of asking this question to everybody, but kind of what excites you the most about the, kind of the future of the tech industry?
I think the future is super exciting because there's never been this level of transparency and power in an individual's hand, where you can communicate literally globally, where you can order anything from anywhere and get it delivered almost anywhere, where you can send money to any part of the world. Like all the boundaries that used to exist for us to be able to have this conversation 20 years ago would have been really difficult to actually record it and then put it up on a podcast. I think just people don't really grasp that big technological shift that we've undergone in the last 20 years and are going to continue going. I mean, there's so many things down the line that's super exciting, but on an individual level, it's like you have the power in your hands, right? We're recording this podcast with a simple app and a simple phone conversation, and then it streamlines the whole process. So I think that's the exciting part, is the control in the user's hand and the individual's hand.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. I think the fact, especially with the tech industry, the one thing we've learned is, you know, my CTO, you know, it's kind of, he always says we can do anything. It is just a matter of, you know, time and resources. And I think that mentality is just, it's very freeing, but it also, you need to have a level of just like concentration and focus to make sure that you're also executing on really what needs to be done. But I couldn't agree more. And I will, what we'll do is we'll include a link in the show notes to both the book, The Client Acquisition Blueprint, and then what's the best place that they can find you for Just Digital?
Yeah, you can Google Just Digital. We'll come up, or go to justdigitalinc.com, justdigitalinc.com. That's the best way to learn more about what we do from the agency side. And the book is The Client Acquisition Blueprint. You can get it on Amazon, search my name, Hugo Fernandez, or Client Acquisition, and I'll be on the top.
All right, great. Well, we will definitely include those in the show notes. All right, everybody. Hope you enjoyed that latest episode. As usual, this podcast is brought to you by WeStock. Go to WeStock.io for more information, or download WeStock in the App Store today to start discovering and requesting your favorite new food and beverage products. Thank you so much.